Shalom, Rabbi. Say, in Reb Chaim's parak about hashgacha, so he doesn't actually talk about hashgacha about people. He talks about hashgacha on gedolim. Reb Chaim writes that we find in all generations there was clear and open hashgacha on gedolei Yisrael. So, for example, he tells the Gemara in Maseches Tainis has a whole bunch of stories about Amoraim who had houses that were going to collapse. They looked like they were going to collapse. And they brought one of the big Amoraim in, Rav Huna, because they knew that when he's in the house, it's not going to collapse. And they cleared everything out of the house. They took the big gadol out, and then the house fell down. It was obvious hashgacha. And Reb Chaim writes, this is not just a story from times of the Gemara. This type of thing continued throughout all the generations. The Seder Adaris tells a story about Rashi, who seemingly became invisible so that a murderer couldn't find him. There's a well-known story about Rabbi Akiva Eiger. There was a certain person who became a mishumad. He opted out of Judaism and he refused to divorce his wife. He wouldn't give her a get, and she came crying to Rabbi Akiva Eiger. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger called the husband in and said, look, it says in the Mishnah in Kiddushin that an ishas konas atzma beveiz drachim. A woman can become available again to get married through one of two ways, either through a get or through misas abal, or through the death of the husband. And he said, your pick. You can decide to give her a get, or you can decide for Mises Abal. And the husband, who no longer was religious, laughed at Rabbi Akiva Eiger, walked out the house, and as he was going down the stairs, he fell down the stairs and died. It was an obvious stroke of hashgacha. And the Chaim has another story about the Chida. There was a certain husband who came complaining to the Chida that his wife was being unfaithful. He'd seen her secluded with another man. And the Chida said, okay. He calls the wife in and says, yeah, okay, you have to get divorced. And everybody around the Chida was very, very surprised. How could he pass? He didn't bring any. There were no edim. There was no evidence. So the Chida said, no, just I'm telling you, they have to get divorced. And as the woman was walking out, she basically had all the effects of a sota happen to her. You know, her eyes bulged, her stomach exploded, and she collapsed on the spot. And she died. It was as if she got punished like a sota. And in pre-war Europe, the Chaim finally tells stories about Gedolim in just 100 years ago, for whom, you know, the non-Jews recognized that they were holy people. They wanted to walk on their fields. They were a set of rabid dogs in town that wouldn't attack the Adam Gadol. Like, these were stories that everybody saw, everybody knew. They weren't a secret. And Reb Chaim writes, it doesn't seem like Gedolim have this type of hashgacha these days. We don't see it so clearly. It must be part of our Nisayon. We're trying to find the HaKadosh Baruch Hu even when it's harder. But he says, if you want to see, you can see people who are Kaddish, even nowadays, you can see they experience a special degree of hashgacha. So I actually have one somewhat humorous story in this light. So one of my friends told me, he was, when I was in Karen B'Avna, the person who davened Shachar Sanamud on Yom Neroim was someone named Binyamin Be'eri. It's not Abedin in Ashkelon. And he was a big tzaddik and a big Kaddish. So when he was davening from the Amud, so my friend who sat right behind the Amud told me that he saw one of those giant Israeli bugs like land on the back of him on his talus. And then the bug just fell down, dead, on the spot. It was like the kedusha of the person davening from the Amun, like, killed the bug. Yeah, these things happen. It's our job to search out the hashgacha. It's one of the messages of Purim, in fact, that we can always find the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can always see hashgacha if we're willing to look for it, even in the darkness. I think there's another point here. Chaim doesn't say what the point of this parak is, but I think there is another point here. Rav Tversky once, when Rav Adya Yosef was nifter, so Rav Tversky gave several hasbedim for him. In his Thursday night share, one of the points he made was, what's the point of telling stories about Rav Avadya's photographic memory? You can't learn from Rav Avadya's memory. You can't say, well, if I try harder, I'll have a photographic memory. It was a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was something he was born with. So what's the point of stories like that? Now, Tversky said that the point is, we should understand who are the Balei HaMasorah, who are the masters of the Masorah that we're trusting for halachic guidance. You know, the people we're trusting aren't just people who happen to have learned a lot. They're people who are head and shoulders above everybody else. And whether that quality was something they worked to achieve or something with which they were naturally endowed or supernaturally endowed doesn't really matter. In the end of the day, when we see a psak from Rav Adya Yosef, we know that he calculated Kol HaTorah Kula by heart in order to arrive at that psak. And that's who Rav Adya was. So when we see that big people experience a unique degree of hashgacha, it should give us confidence in both the Balei Masorah in Halacha, and also those we're looking to for personal and communal guidance. They aren't just non-people, they're extraordinary people.